it begin and play to win. Take control with your mind and soul. Your destiny is to reach your goal. Enjoy yourself and have no doubt, cause that's what winning is all about. Come on. Yes, yes, sure, play to be ball. Take your best shot and let it fall. It's a hip, hip hop, you don't stop. Come on everybody, let's make that shot.
All right, everybody, welcome to Weekly Trueplex, The Cage with Charles. Full disclaimer, wrestling is not fake. It is scripted. It is a stage fight. It's a song and dance. I know that pisses off a lot of the old-time wrestlers when they say the same ballet, but damn, what do you want me to say? That's your live-action stunt movie? Get over it. Accept it. It's okay. You make beautiful music. It's a soap opera. It's a 1998 NSYNC 98 Degrees Britney Spears love story music video where you know everything's going on. It's about men and women championship. Wait.
Yes, yes. Finish your intro, but I want to ask you something after
that. All right. It's about men and women chasing championships, establishing legacies, beating the holy hell out of each other, and then once again, you never forget, because I feel like this is always something that I have to end on our intro.
Bane of your existence.
Vincent Kennedy McMahon and the toxic relationship that I have with him. I'll never have anything more toxic relationship than with him, right? For 25 years.
I want to.
This nonsense.
Now, I want to open the show in because I didn't have anything planned, and I know you're pretty good on the spot. In honor of International Women's Day, who is or who are your favorite female wrestlers?
All right, so I'll give you through the three stages of wrestling that I was watching on. So the three stages of wrestling that I was watching on is going to be when I first started wrestling, which was 8 years old when I moved to Florida. Then we're going to bring into when I came back into wrestling, which around circa 2016, that we'll go to now. Okay, so favorite woman wrestler in when I first got back into wrestling, Trish Stratus. In love with her. Beautiful woman. I don't care. Marry me. Fine. F it. Right?
Good old
but
Canadian
she
woman.
Brought in... Yeah, Canadian woman. You know, one of the good things that came out of Canada, aside from Reynolds and a few other people, but she, aside from being gorgeous, right, she could actually wrestle. She started off as being the manager of TNA with Tessa Albert and then became do her own thing, had a great legacy and rivalry with Lita. Her finisher move was Stratisfaction. Attitude Era was a very misogynistic time. I was an 8-year-old boy. Of course, I'm going to gravitate towards that, but she can actually go in the ring. She actually came back in SummerSlam about 2 years ago to go against Charlotte Flair, and the match was actually very good. I can't tell you how many multiple titles she held. Escapes me off the top of my head. As you see in the photo snapshot, there was The Rock. There's a period where she was with like Vince McMahon. A lot of stuff, but she did a lot of cool things, a lot of good things with it. She helped bring in the era of women wrestlers, because remember, I think with Vince McMahon and the misogynistic purview that he had, because of course it's no coincidence the boss had locked lips with somebody, right? Kind of disgusting now when you think about it. Maybe that's the reason why we need to have these uncomfortable conversations about people in power influencing it to get certain things that they want, even though they proclaim it to be innocent, because it might be innocent but still pleasurable, and that's the problem with some of these things. But I enjoyed her time wrestling then, appreciate her time now. When I came back into 2016, it was kind of tough. I had been out of the game for a bit. I came back into wrestling full-time because one of our guy friends in law school, David Krogi, was like, you don't wrestle. I'm like, wrestling? I like wrestling. And he's like, yeah, have you caught up stuff? And I'm like, I haven't caught up in like the modern day wrestling. No, it's been a bit, all this other stuff. And he's like, well, start going into it. And then I got back into NXT, when it was Black and Gold brand was my kind of push into it. Then it led us to what was going on in the modern day era. So when I came back in 2016, that's when you got the Four Horsewomen revolution. And I was like, this is really interesting. And that was Sasha Banks, that was Charlotte Flair, that was Bayley, and that was Becky Lynch all coming together. And it really just kind of enticed it. But the person that I loved getting back into wrestling was Asuka, because Asuka was just super dominant. And because Becky and all of them had kind of been called up on the main roster, but I know there was a connection for me to watch them on the main roster. But it was Asuka who was just literally killing it. And I see, and I've talked about her before on the show, she can go, man. There was like her wrestling Minoru Suzuki over in Japan. She's got the Asuka lock as a finisher and a couple other things that she does depending on it, but she's had some success. I would love for her to have a WrestleMania moment. She's currently injured right now, but I've seen her live she knows how to work with the crowd, work with the energy. She knows how to put on some good ass matches. But what made her so special about NXT was like she was that equivalent of Goldberg, except with the real talent, because she was undefeated. She finished her NXT career undefeated. And of course, she lost to Charlotte at WrestleMania. A very good match, but I loved it. I loved it. And now my favorite one, Asuka's still kind of up there. She's been out of the ring for a bit, but I'm a fan of characters, and I'm not saying that this is my current favorite, but I'm going to give a shout out to what we're doing in NXT. I can mention Bianca Belair. I can mention Becky Lynch. I can mention Charlotte Flair. I can mention Ronda Rousey. I love me some Sonya Deville and the talent that she has there, but I'm going to go back to another one on NXT, because now it's NXT 2.0, and now they're kind of focusing more on characters and all feel good stuff. But I'm going to give it for a gimmick I'm invested in. You know, Charles loves gimmicks. He's a sucker for that. But right now it's Wendy Chu. And she was the, I forgot her OG name that they called her when she was, it was Karen Q. But now she's Wendy Chu. And her whole gimmick, Francisco Florence, is not racist, which makes me happy. She's like a sleepy human being. And it's hysterical to me. She comes in with the eye mask, like the pajamas and the pillows. I remember
that. She was like sleeping on top of the lockers or something.
Yeah. And it's just like, I'm a sucker for that stuff, man. Like, you know, some things just kind of fit. It was, you know, I'm trying to think of all the gimmick characters I like that Vince ruins. Like, you know, I think about Aleister Black. I think about a few other ones. And then it just kind of like destroys it. And Aleister Black's not a gimmick. He's Malakai Black now. AEW. I'm just thinking about all the stuff that I like that they ruined. I can't think off the top of my head, but there's just something interesting about it that cracks me up, because I think it's like Vince's jab at modern day culture and behavior of people, of how us as millennials are just always overworked, overtired, and underpaid, and we just want some nap time. We love our Starbucks, but you put a character in the right performance and they own it. The Undertaker could only have been Mark Calloway. It couldn't have been anybody else, right? Karen Q could be the only Wendy Chu. Like, she even does a thing where, like, her elbow drop is her kind of doing nap time. And I'm just enjoying it. I'm going to see where it takes her right. Obviously, it's not a title. You know, give her a championship. That'd be cool if you do. But wrestling sometimes is about the weekly gimmicks. The Honky Tonk Man did it well. Elias, when he was still around on TV, I don't know what he's doing with his guitar and everything. That's what's bringing in well. Yet people invested. They're good for segments. They're good for things to kind of break up the monotony as you're waiting for the next match. So that's just kind of where I am of like past, present, and currently the future. And for all different reasons, right? So yeah. Didn't think I have the brains to go through that. Any questions? Right. Look at her. She's got a little unicorn mask. It's hysterical.
It's great.
Going into... Now, so much has happened. And I don't want to make this into a 30-minute cage. So I'm going to just really... Do I do AEW or do WWE?
I guess AEW, because Revolution so much happened, has happened. So
Before Revolution happened...
Before that, and so now we can do a review.
Even before that, Tony Khan bought Ring of Honor. Oh, yes, the
big money, yeah, big money.
So Ring of Honor, we had talked about it. It was on its death's doorsteps. It's where a lot of the great talents had originated from. Samoa Joe, CM Punk, Bryan Danielson. I could just give you the list of names, but that's where they started. Tony Khan bought that. I was like, meh. But I know essentially the feeling towards it is just to kind of get the library and then try to utilize that for HBO Max to get WarnerMedia stream AEW and the Ring of Honor library. And even though the Ring of Honor, you know, old matches were not shot well, there's some damn good matches on there. CM Punk and Samoa Joe, Bryan Danielson versus Nigel McGuinness, stuff that I've watched, stuff that I haven't watched, stuff that I'm going to get into. And you know I love me the WWE Network. What would I do when it was Corona time? I'll put that on as I wait for calls and do some things and stuff like that. I watch some old matches that I missed because I missed a gap in wrestling. I watch the old NWA matches. I would watch the old AWA matches. This can give me the opportunity to see all those matches I missed in Ring of Honor. What does that mean, though, for AEW if you have Tony Khan, who is the owner of AEW, the booker of AEW, to go up there like, I bought another wrestling promotion? Doesn't mean that Ring of Honor is going to necessarily become part of AEW, because if that was the case, wouldn't you just buy out the media rights and the talent that's currently on there? So he's going to book Ring of Honor. I don't know if he's got a plan, Stan. I don't think it's a situation of like when Vince McMahon bought WCW and ECW and tried to converge it all together. I think you kind of keep it separate, but you know, of its own talent, of its own ingenuity. Maybe you can use that very bloated roster on AEW to put on Ring of Honor.
Would it be like an NXT thing where it'd be like a developmental league?
Maybe, but here's the whole thing is you sign a lot of guys in indies, and if you're getting a developmental thing, what are you trying to develop? you're still working on that with Dynamite. I mean, I don't want to be, you know, rude to the people who were there since day one when Dynamite occurred, but obviously the presence has changed when you got the John Moxleys, the Brian Danielsons, the Malachi Blacks. You know, they got William Regal came over. He used to be a great professional wrestler for WCW and WWF, and now he's coaching there. Where you get all these talents to kind of teach people to do it the television way. How do you develop? And the thing is that if you try to keep it separate by itself, how do you keep people invested into it? I don't really, the difference between putting someone from Raw and SmackDown onto NXT, which is actually happening right now at NXT Roadblock, where you're going to have Bron Breakker defend his NXT title and triple threat against Tommaso Ciampa and Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler is on the main roster going down there, is that we all know it's all part of the same brand. They're all getting the same paycheck by the same guy in the same organization. It's not NXT's its own separate thing. It's WWE's NXT, right? So we understand that. But Ring of Honor really is its own separate entity. And I don't know what you could do with it, because I don't necessarily want you to kind of have it be a developmental league. What I want you to do with it is just have two-way talent, the way they were kind of doing, how Impact did it best with the Forbidden Door, except to have more money and resources. But really, this is what I want, to be honest with you. Ring of Honor talent goes between each other every now and then. And then what you have is, you know, twice a year, so supercard,
like,
pay-per-views.
People are like on a two-way contract in a sense.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. Okay. But what you do is, you know, AEW already has 4 pay-per-views a year. You add in 2 crossover pay-per-views, okay, like how Ring of Honor used to do with New Japan when they had the Super Card of Honor. You can make it like a Survivor Series of such without it having to do like multiple invasion storylines instead of just the battle of the brands for supremacy. You know, mind you, it's wrestling, is all scripted, so Ring of Honor ain't going to win that for a bit. And then you can have Team Ring of Honor Originals, which you could do against the Team AEW Newbies. You can have they mentioned the 4 pillars of MJF and Sammy Guevara and Darby Allin, and then one other person who escapes my brain. I apologize because it left me in my thought process, but it'll come to me eventually. Much forgiveness to anybody who goes with the 4 pillars. I guess I go with 3 of them. Versus like Ring of Honor Originals of Brian Danielson and Samoa Joe and CM, because I'm imagining Samoa Joe's got to pop up. CM Punk, the Briscoe Brothers, stuff like that. You can do cool things of that nature. It's going to bother me that I don't know the 4 pillars of that. But as I'm talking, I'll look it up. But maybe. It's just, I think I told you guys what's the point, right? Because I know you want the Jungle Boy Jack Perry. That was the other one. I know you want to have it be big. You really want it for the library because it might incentivize people to buy your streaming rights if you have this whole big thousands upon thousands of hours of wrestling tape. And what's the thing about wrestling? We talked about it. It's one of few sports or sports entertainments that can be rewatchable. I don't go to wonder about that Monday Night Football game that I saw 7 years ago between the Eagles and whoever, the Cowboys, right? No, I don't care about that. You can look at highlights, but I don't even look at highlights. The only things I'll rewatch is old wrestling matches, old boxing fights, maybe some MMA stuff, but MMA, it's not entertaining anymore. People want to tell me it's entertaining. Explain to me how it's entertaining when Jorge Masvidal is supposed to be this badass mofo and keeps getting knocked the hell out to Kobe Covington. Just saying. That was over this weekend. Look, we brought combat sports in there. But it has incentivization because I'll even rewatch stuff from the prior year when I'm making my top 10 list for us. And you find new nooks and crannies. Maybe I'm not looking at my phone. Maybe I'm more intense. Maybe I'm just hearing it differently. Maybe it's a worse match. Maybe it's a better match. There's an appreciation to it. People like lists, right? And that's something useful for me. But meh, we'll see. Because it's a plan, but is it more of a plan of a plan? Or do you have a full plan, if that makes sense in the purchase? Revolution was this weekend. I did not spend $50. Instead, I decided to eat a gyro and play Horizon Forbidden West. We're at 8.5 of that game right now, but I'm barely touching the surface. I'm just telling you that right now. I'm like 21 hours in, and I've probably done like 4 or 5 main missions. There's so much to do. This is the problem. There's like a 60-hour game. And that's why I'm hoping we'll get to the 9.5 or to the 9, but I don't see it going any lower than 8.5 unless something stupid happens, because it's very familiar. I'll give it the shout out, but we're not going to give it a non-sponsor yet. Get back to me by April, which is when it's been breaking and beating the game. I might take some time off next week, so maybe I'll get that chance. But Revolution was this weekend. I listed off the card itself, but some of the matches I heard that were bangers: Eddie Kingston, CM Punk. The ladder match was good. The Revolution ladder match. I think I sent you guys a clip of one of those, of like Orange Cassidy being in the middle and getting caught up. CM Punk versus MJF was supposed to be excellent. Wardlow finally turned on him. It was a dog collar match. It was a lot of blood. When it goes onto the HBO Max streaming series, I will then watch it, or I'll just watch it legally on YouTube. You know, no legally, but I didn't pirate it, but something there. The triple threat tag team match was supposed to be good. The main event was supposed to be good. Some of the winners, I was right. CM Punk won. Hangman Page won. Yay, we love him. Wardlow won. I was surprised. He won the Face of the Revolution. I thought they were really going to give that to Keith Lee. And I kind of missed not seeing that match because of big, meaty men slapping meat with ladders. But Wardlow is going to continue his feud with MJF now, probably until Double or Nothing. Britt Baker won against Thunder Rosa, cheated the win. Okay, fine. You know, they're continuing their feud. They might meet up in the St. Patrick's Day episode. I don't know, Jay Cargill versus Ty Conti. What I love about Jay Cargill, she came out dressed as Jade from Mortal Kombat, the green and everything, so it was like perfect. No big reveals of that I recall, because sometimes you get those big signs, except for William. You go, oh, so I missed Moxley and Danielson, but I had like half a chub just going into it because Brian Danielson was Daniel Bryan, John Moxley was Dean Ambrose in WWE, and they didn't really feuded fully, and they had this match, and it was supposed to be great and gory, and then Moxley got the roll-up pin on him in a submission, and they were just still locking into it, beating the hell out of each other. And William Regal, who they know, who they respected, who was in WWE, who was a coaching talent for NXT, who was fired because Vince McMahon's on that petty train, came in and broke him up, and he would just decide to be all elite. And it's kind of like a dad telling his two kids to stop, you know, messing around. You know, it was that episode of South Park where, like, stop screwing around, the woodshop guy. That's how it felt like. And I don't know how he can just do the headbutt to Moxie's blood. I'm very when it comes to that stuff. That's why I couldn't be a wrestler. You couldn't get me a drop on my neck, and I can't blade for anybody. But I will eventually watch this one way or another. $50 is too much, man. I was going back and forth on it. And it was a Sunday, and that ish ended at like 11:45, man.
I like the look on it. Says, why, Papa? Why?
Yeah, and he just slaps him in the face like, Daddy, why, Daddy? Why'd you do this to me? Where we're going to go in the storylines in the future, we'll do some predictions there, because their next pay-per-view is Double or Nothing, and that's about 2 months now from now in May, and that's pretty big, right? So I think we're getting CM Punk versus Hangman Page. I think you have nowhere to go but that. And what do you do with Hangman Page? Because he's beaten Bryan Danielson, gave him his first clean pin. He's beaten Adam Cole, gave him his first clean pin, not counting the John Moxley match. Or not John Moxley, but the Orange Cassidy match. I'm watching the NXT Roadblock match right now. And they just botched a couple of things and someone landed on. Like, that's fantastic. That's sarcasm, kids. But you have to do CM Punk and Hangman Page. My concern is that I think CM Punk wins that, because MJF and him, they've gone twice. Now you go for the rubber match, and that's how you have MJF conquer it fully, right? If you're telling the stories correctly. Moxley, Brian, they're going to tag team up, or they're going to beat the hell out of each other some more. I'll see Eddie Kingston, Jericho still continuing. That's kind of like my problem with AEW. There was no betrayal by Santana or Ortiz, by the way. My problem with it is that there's a pay-per-view match, and it'll still continue afterwards. Vince does the same thing too, but you can kind of switch it up a little bit, because you got to remember there's not a lot of pay-per-views in between. I felt like if AEW had like 8, it makes my life easier, because you could just try out some of the new guys, because you mentioned about using Ring of Honor developmental. There's a lot of guys who are signed that haven't had the opportunity to kind of be out there with all these other big... Is that guy wearing a Lord Zedd shirt from Power Rangers? That's awesome if it's true. I just watched our wrestling. I don't know the guy's name, but I'll figure it out. But they're an intimidating villain that they never capitalize on in any of the movies, sadly, right? He's like coming in like human meat with like the Guyver kind of headset and headpiece and nothing. But it'll be interesting to go with AEW. So that's my thoughts on AEW for now. There'll be more to come. WWE is going to be very brief. Maybe. It's going to be very brief. Roman and Brock is great. They had a live event on Saturday on Madison Square Garden where Brock was going to go against somebody. People really thought it was going to be a big swerve, so all of Twitter was like freaking out about it, because they're thinking like, Edge is going to come in, be the random man, win the championship, go against AJ Styles for the title. Now it turns out to be Austin Theory. Austin Theory like gets crushed, obliterated by Brock, and then Roman comes in, just decimates the man, and just gets on the mic in Madison Square Garden and just says, Brock Lesnar, acknowledge me. I'm for it, but me and my buddy were talking about it because he believes Roman's going to win. I say, absolutely not. You don't build a 9-month storyline of Brock constantly getting screwed over, decimating everybody, winning the championship, losing it on technicality, winning it again for like Roman to win it, unless I'm calling it now for the big stakes, because we're We're about a month away, so I got to do it big time. The best way to book Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, Francisco, is, for the love of Christ, dude, he left them bloody on the steps, man. It was great. You do not have them do a standard match once again. You did that at Crown Jewel, bruh. You were going to do that at day one before Roman got the Rona. You put that in a cage. You put it in Hell in a Cell, where if Roman does beat this monster Brock, it's not clean, but it's going to war, and someone finally dropped the nuke, right? I mean, I don't know if that's appropriate given the modern times, but that's how big it is in the wrestling scale. That's how I would do it, because remember, it's a unification, winner-take-all, title match, all this other fun stuff. That's me. That's how I feel with it. Wrestling, though, with WrestleMania, it's also very, you know, celebrity-based. What happened over the weekend or on Friday? Ricochet is your new Intercontinental Champion because Johnny Knoxville screwed over Sami Zayn. Yeah, they're still doing that. Johnny Knoxville showed up at Royal Rumble. Sami Zayn and him are going to have a match. Okay, fine. Logan Paul, for some reason, is going to be on my WrestleMania again. He's going to be teaming up with The Miz against the Mysterios. Eh. This WrestleMania is very, like, it's mid the word I want to use because it could be great. Now, we know what I'm up for. We're up for Edge and AJ. You already know my excitement from it. I'm so excited for that. AJ is faking like a storyline injury after that concerto. Edge came in a suit on Monday saying, yo, WTF, I did this because I can because I'm a badass dude. Mind you, we have also new Raw Tag Team Champions. RK-Bro won the title from Chad Gable and Otis, Alpha Academy, and Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. There's a reason why I'm mentioning the name now. The moonsault into the RKO was stellar. Not the best RKO I've seen out of nowhere. That was always going to be reserved for WrestleMania with Seth Rollins with the stop, and he got him. But it's good stuff. Good for Ricochet to get the IC belt. The guy should always be on my TV. His character work can be kind of bland, but you're only working with what you're given in creative. But good for him. For some reason, it's like, hey, we're going to push it. WrestleMania is going to be – yeah, well, look how finesse he is, man. Look how athletic. I love him. You know, he has some damn good matches. You want to watch some good Ricochet matches in WWE? Watch him versus AJ Styles at SummerSlam. Watch him versus Adam Cole for the North American Championship. Watch him versus Velveteen Dream. Damn good stuff, sirs. And also watch him in the NXT Tag Championship match against Viking Raiders when he was teaming up with Aleister Black. Damn good stuff, sir. He can bring it. It's just, you know, you got to make the underdog work. So the IC title is good. There's some predictions we'll go into, but not just yet. But something big kind of happened. I sent you in the chat, and this is where I'm going to kind of be on the focal point for 5 to 10 minutes. So Kevin Owens wants to be at WrestleMania. Kevin Owens' finisher is the Stunner. Kevin Owens, or now it is, at least, used to be a pop-up powerbomb. He's also one of the guys who used to be a Ring of Honor, not an OG, but good enough when he was Kevin Steen. And he's been hating on Texas. There's some famous dudes from Texas wrestling-wise. There's the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. There's The Undertaker. And there's also Steve Austin. So he told Stone Cold Steve Austin to show up, come to WrestleMania for the KO show. Austin releases a clip today, which I sent you guys. He said, yeah, I'll be there and open up one last can of whoop ass. Fuck it, I'm for it, man. Fine. You know, I don't know if it's going to be a match. I will tell you this. Vince is not going to let Owens get buried so badly in a segment show to eat a Stunner. That's it. I think he's going to let some hands be thrown. I think, hell, you know, if Austin shows up before WrestleMania, Owens is going to get him with a Stunner. What this is, though, is that it's WrestleMania. With stuff they're trying to say is the most stupendous WrestleMania, because the preview just came on as I'm talking. But you're bringing in Stone Cold Steve Austin. We love nostalgia. And some people say, oh, you know, the thing about wrestling is that they can never, you know, let go of the past. They can't build new stars. But that's for every sport, is it not? There's a reason why Drew Brees is now on my NBC Sunday Night Sports broadcast. The reason why that Shaq and Charles Barkley are there on my NBA, you know, tonight or whatever it is. We don't count Kenny. Kenny's just there, but Kenny's not on a Shaq and Barkley level, right? Not a Hall of Famer. And then with baseball, I don't know. That they rotate that too much. I feel like there's actually not real legitimate great dudes.
Another problem baseball has. So yeah,
mm-hmm. I'm just saying. You know, granted, no one's saying, "Hey, bring in Derek Jeter to be on the broadcast." But I will watch it every night. Instead, well, I'm relegated to. Yeah. Yeah, I'm relegated to Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, Pedro.
You know, half the point. So, right? So it's just one of those things where you wonder and it comes into it. But wrestling holds on to the old-timers just as much as we do. The only difference is that they're competing, right? But granted, that's changed a little bit because the NBA, they'll be at the, you know, the what's the other alternative brand name? The Ice Cube brand, the Big Three brand. Mm. So shit, there's some dudes who are coming back, man, for the extra paycheck. Yeah. Or they're showing up for the celebrity stuff. So why can't we hold on to it? I don't think this is going to be a match. Austin's 57 years old. But mind you, Sting is 62, and he wrestled a match at Revolution. So are we just hating on WWE for just one thing, and we're just ignoring AEW? Because I really think, Francisco, if you're going to say, oh, WWE is pathetic trying to get a 57-year-old Austin, you know, trying to wrestle WrestleMania.
How old is Goldberg again?
Goldberg's like 52, though, but Goldberg's actually in super shape, and he doesn't have a broken neck.
Okay, all
but,
right, yeah.
But if you like AEW and you're supporting Sting being 62 and going, mm-hmm. you're full of it.
Yeah.
You might, the booking might be different. There's a reason why Sting is in tag team matches, because you don't have to do as much work. The guy came up with a flamethrower. Awesome. But you, there's a reason why legends matter. And it's Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's not, and for the love of God, please, for the one person who does like Jake the Snake Plumber still, it's not like, or Jake the Snake Roberts, I'm thinking Jake the Snake Plumber.
Jake the quarterback for the Cardinals?
Yeah, no. Yeah, we're thinking Jake the Snake Roberts. It's not like he's coming in for one more match in AEW or WWE. This is Stone Cold Steve Austin, the guy who catapulted the WWE era into the Attitude Era with Vince McMahon. You know, if there was no, technically if there was no Bret Hart helping Austin out, but I'll digress. That might be one of those slow days at the news, and I'll just kind of go into and divide why you guys need to watch WrestleMania 13 and see the double turn. But I'm for it. Fuck it. Why not, man? Because I love Kevin Owens. I have a shout out to Kevin Owens. He's big fatty. I follow him on Twitter. I think he's just a breath of fresh air. No, he's not going to be booked constantly, but here's the thing about wrestling. No one's ever booked to the liking what we like. I can attest to that in and of itself. But imagine what's going to happen. What, think about Kevin Owens, the performer right now, and the employee. Vince McMahon directly negotiated with him, allegedly. What does it mean if Vince goes to you as a wrestler and says, hey, I'm going to put you on the biggest pay-per-view that we run. You're going to have maybe a match, maybe not a match, but you're going to have a segment. And you're going to have a segment with this man, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and you're probably going to eat a stunner. But what does that say to you? Isn't that the ultimate minting in wrestling? Isn't that certified in and of itself what your legacy is and cementing your legacy? Because here's the thing, we talk about cementing legacies. I feel like this is a good point to come into it. Some legacies are cemented with victories. Some legacies are cemented in losses because someone's got to lose most of the time, right? But damn it, you can still lose and come out strong with it. And I want to see where it goes. Now, mind you, it's also Vince McMahon, and he gives me what I want, and then he screws it up too. That's the hard part. That's why I'm also concerned about AJ Edge, which I think they're putting on night two. So I don't even want to kind of watch night one, Francisco, because I got Roman Brock in that payoff of a nine-month storyline, and then I got AJ Edge on night two. What the hell do I need to watch night one for Austin and Owens? After I just wax poetically about it, I'm like, I can just YouTube that ish. They need to fix that. They need to fix it big time. And right now, I'm gonna see this triple threat match, Bron Breakker. Hopefully, he as the next generation does some stuff. But if not, everybody's gonna think about his daddy and his uncle, Rick Steiner and Scott Steiner. Big Papa Pump has got the hookup. Holler if you hear me. And that's all I got for you this week on the cage.